presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Hello, everybody, and welcome live to Athens, Georgia, where just behind me, you see the Georgia practice facility, the indoor facility, the practice fields, where today Georgia will begin its 2019 spring practice. I am thrilled to cover it for you today as part of Dog Nation Daily. My name is Brandon Adams. A fun day of content coming up from DogNation.com as spring practice begins. And one of the things you're going to hear me say a lot is the word spring over and over again, because one of the things I'm going to try to do, for those of you watching on video, you understand this, I am going to try to will spring to Athens, because the sun is indeed shining, but unfortunately that's about the only remnant of spring we have right now. It is cold and it is windy. You don't care about that. You just care about football. But I will tell you that it's pretty bitter and pretty windy and cold right now. You may see my hair kind of flying all over the place, so I apologize for that. But I'm really excited about what we're going to be seeing over the course of the next few hours. We'll get a chance to hear from Georgia coach Kirby Smart today. Obviously, DogNation.com will be all over that. Chip Towers, Mike Griffith, with some written reports of everything that Kirby has a chance to say today. We'll hear from Georgia players, their thoughts as they get ready to begin the spring. And we'll just take a moment as Georgia fans, I am, you are, to celebrate the fact that football is back. It's not real football the way we get it. September, October, November, that's not what we have going on. But what we do have is something very, very close to that. The build-up to G-Day coming up on April 20th and the excitement that is associated with that, and a lot of really interesting questions to be asked and answered about this 2019 Georgia team. You know the story. This is a team that has expectations as high as they can possibly be. It's been close to a national championship the last couple of years. Could have been SEC champions, as repeat SEC champions last season. The arch nemesis Alabama stands in the way. Clemson's emerged the real threat. But I think a lot of Georgia fans justifiably feel that Georgia is right in the middle of that conversation. And we'll talk over the course of today and the next few days about how Georgia finally gets over the hump in that regard. In fact, with more on that now, let me bring in, as part of this very special edition of Dog Nation Daily, our buddy Mike Griffith. He covers the Dogs for DogNation.com, getting ready to begin another year on this Georgia beat. And Mike, I got to ask you, after the offseason, you've traveled around, you're in Indianapolis for the Scouting Combine. You were all over over the course of this winter. How does it feel to be back at this again, to see now the 2019 version of the Georgia Bulldogs for the first time?
Well, I'm really anxious. You know, I go in there now with an informed point of view on Kirby Smart and how he does business. And, you know, what really impressed me last fall and really throughout last season up until the Sugar Bowl was the focus and the drive that this team had. And I wonder now, is that just business as usual as Georgia? Are we going to see that same sort of focus and drive and poise, really, that we saw from Georgia all the way through up until about the fourth quarter of the SEC championship game?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Kirby Smart. I want to talk about Jake Fromm in a minute, but since you mentioned Smart, let's talk about him for a moment. In a lot of ways, this is a different kind of year for Smart. He's going into year four. That's not really a new coach anymore. You know, the honeymoon phase, or the phase of getting acclimated to life as a head coach after being a longtime defensive coordinator, for Smart now, that's over. You know, he's going to have a team now virtually filled with only his own recruits. You have a few guys left in this roster that were original commits to Mark Richt, but for the most part, this roster is going to be made up of guys that Kirby Smart recruited, that Kirby Smart signed, and he's going into his fourth year. In some respects, we'll see a little different version of Smart, maybe more of a veteran coach now than a coach learning the ropes and getting acclimated to head coaching life. That's not really his story anymore, is it?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and we're going to see more Kirby Smart than ever. You know, one of the decisions Kirby made, BA, was to promote from within, and if you believe in the Kirby Smart dynasty and you believe George is on their way, this is somewhat of a make-or-break year with a third-year starting quarterback, a 1,000-yard rusher, the best offensive line in college football, a few of which will probably go pro after this year. And now these internal promotions, though, that was the telltale sign. Kirby Smart wants to maintain the continuity. He believes in what he's doing. He believes in the message. And that's why you promote a 32-year-old to be the defensive coordinator and you promote James Coley to be the offensive coordinator rather than look outside. They were never going outside for an OC. I do think he may have looked at some people for DC, but ultimately BA, Kirby believes in himself and his program, and that's going to be on trial this year with new coordinators.
So as I see myself on the video screen on the Dog Nation Facebook page, my hair is obviously flying all over the place, so I'll try to keep that under wraps today. Y'all don't make too much fun of me in the comment section for that. You mentioned the coordinators. That's also something we need to talk about. But let me stay on the subject of Kirby just for a moment. And the pressure that comes with the expectations that Georgia has this year. He's no stranger to that. He dealt with that for a long time in Alabama as defensive coordinator, and Alabama, to its credit, fulfilled those expectations over and over again. Georgia, I think, for the most part, has done a pretty good job of handling the expectations of the last couple of years. You know, they bounced back, won the East again. Obviously, in year two, went all the way to the college football playoff. That's a big-time performance. But how does Georgia this year, knowing that, given the performance of the last 2 years, the expectations even higher. How do you think Kirby Smart manages that? How do you think he handles that?
Yeah, the same way. You know, I thought he really planted the seed last year, really not just for last season but for the future, when he said pressure is a privilege. He used that great Billie Jean Queen quote, and I believe that that's going to be Kirby's mentality. Look, you come to Georgia to play pressure. You come to Georgia for expectations. You know, last year Georgia had 83 kids on their roster from the state of Georgia. Alabama, conversely, had 38 kids on their roster from the state of Alabama. This is part of the culture that Kirby Smart wants to bring. If the bright lights scare you, this ain't the place for you.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And Paul Amerson in our Facebook comment section says, as Georgia fans and as a Georgia program, we can't live in the past. We've got to look forward. And I think that Paul's right about that. And that's one of the things that makes today interesting as the 2019 spring practice begins, as this team, this 2019 version, led by new leaders, occupied in some respects by new names on the roster, they forge their identity and they chart their own path towards whatever destination they finish. And I think that's a really good quote and comment from Paul there. And obviously one of the guys that's going to be leading the way in that regard is Jake Fromm. And I think that Fromm is interesting as he goes into his third year as a starter. And one of the things that makes that interesting for me, Mike, is that we live in a day and age now where experience at the quarterback position has sort of never seemed to matter less than it does right now. Just look at last year's national champion, Clemson, led by a first-year starting quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. The year before that, the Alabama team that won had been led for most of the year by sophomore quarterback Jalen Hurts, but Tua Tagovailoa in the national championship game, as Georgia fans unfortunately remember, he steps in and plays. You do have the veteran quarterback Deshaun Watson the year before that, but the year before that it was Alabama and Jacob Coker, also a first-year starter. Go back to 2014 when Ohio State won the national championship in the first year of the college football playoff. Not only was Cardell Jones a first-year starter, he'd only started a couple of games, you know, leading that national championship, and then the final year of the BCS in 2013, Jameis Winston was also a first-year starter that led Florida State to the national championship. So we're kind of in an age in which what Fromm has experience doesn't seem to necessarily matter all that most. So I think it's a fair question to ask, how then does Fromm use the experience that he has to his advantage this season?
Well, you know, when you're playing a pro-style offense like Georgia, and let's just put Trevor Lawrence in his own category. I mean, this guy's the second Peyton Manning. Let's just say it. The guy's special. You're not going to see many guys come in and play pro-style and throw the ball like Trevor did. And Clemson did some things with their offense to simplify. Digress, though. For what Georgia tries to do with a pro-style offense, which is to manipulate what the defense is doing, the looks that they're doing, throw to the guy that's open, take what the defense gives you. Jake's pre-snap reads are integral to that. The step that Jake needs to take is to spend time with these young receivers, and I'm glad he was out fishing during the offseason, because he's not going to have time to do that if Georgia's offense is going to be where it needs to be. He's going to need to spend his entire summer on his own time working with these receivers, B.A. You know, Georgia lost four out of their top five wide receivers last year. And if Jake's not on the same page with these guys early on, last year he wasn't on the same page with the receivers early enough. I think everybody remembers third and from the first half of the season. You and I talked about it at one of our Marlowe's locations. Jake was struggling on third and long because he didn't have the timing down with Riley Ridley the first half of the season like he did Javon Wims. He's got to get on the same page with these receivers immediately. That's where Jake Fromm's leadership's got to show up. Not necessarily between the lines in the practice field or in the locker room, but in the summer when he's taking those guys out to eat and throwing balls to them in 90-degree days.
And so one of the things that comes to mind for me about that is, and Connor Riley, who's here with us, you'll remember this. In 2016, when spring practice began, you know, as media members, you don't get to see a lot of practice. The average fan doesn't get to see any of practice. So in some cases, we're relying on the video footage that Georgia releases to kind of see some of what's going on. And there was a video in the early stage of the 2016 spring, or I should say the 2017 spring practice, the early stage of the 2017 spring practice, I thought was really telling. And this is not a slide on Jacob Eason because certain personalities are different, but it was a highlight of the two quarterbacks. It's Eason doing his thing. It was the incoming freshman Fromm doing his thing. And Eason's like the coolest guy in the room, right? He's stoic. He's not really visible, not really loud, and he's kind of going about his business that way. Jake Fromm, going through spring practice for the first time as an incoming freshman, is very loud. He's very animated. He's slapping helmets. He's patting backs. He's grabbing guys by the jersey and pulling them up off the ground. He was doing then already the stuff that you expect a veteran quarterback to be doing now. So you say, hey, with new receivers being worked in, Jake Fromm's going to be even more vocal in getting them up to speed and finding the chemistry with who will be his, you know, favorite target once the games start being played this fall. I think one of the things that Georgia fans can feel good about is that we've already seen with our own eyes Fromm be the kind of quarterback that does cultivate that from the offense that he leads. It's one of the reasons why Kirby Smart and formerly Jim Chaney, now James Coley, will put as much trust in him. And that is one of the ways that I think he can use his experience to his advantage. He's already shown, different than some quarterbacks, he is a really vocal leader. And my guess is, even in the brief window of practice we get the chance to see today, we'll already see even more of that from Fromm than we're used to seeing.
I think so. And more than last year, you know, I thought that, you know, Kirby really bent over backwards last year to make sure that Justin Fields had every opportunity to win the starting position, to the fault of not even naming Jake Fromm a starter. It was an unintended consequence and probably a slap in the face that a guy that had led the team to the national championship didn't have the dignity of being named the starting quarterback for the following season. But it was something that had to happen in order for Justin Fields to come to Georgia. It was an unintended distraction. It was a good problem to have. Nonetheless, it was a circumstance that is no longer here. There's no doubt about it. This is Jake Fromm's team, and I do think there will be a silver lining to Justin Fields transferring to Ohio State this year. Don't ask me about after that, because I don't know if Jake's coming back for a senior season. But this year, Georgia benefits from it.
Let me say one more thing about Fromm. Before that, let me remind you this, Dog Nation Daily. We're live here today in Athens, Georgia, with the Georgia practice field behind us, the indoor facility. You also see the Butzmere Heritage Hall. That's the Georgia football office, the athletic offices. Later on today, Kirby Smart will give his initial press conference to get spring practice underway. We'll see practice after that. Georgia players will be on hand to give their thoughts about the upcoming season and the upcoming spring and the position battles that will be waged there. It's great to be able to cover this for you as a part of Dog Nation Daily, live on video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio as always at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form wherever you find podcasts. We know on days like this, for the video audience, this is not that different than what you're used to. For our audio friends, radio and podcast, this can be a little different today, a little different format, so we appreciate you being with us, and we'll be back to our regular Dog Nation format before the week is out. We're really looking forward to a fun week of coverage here around Dog Nation and on Dog Nation Daily. So let me stay on Fromm for one moment before we change the subject, Mike. I mentioned before the inexperienced quarterbacks that have won national championships, and there are a couple of different examples, counterexamples of that. There is obviously Deshaun Watson, who waited 3 years to win his championship. There is Jalen Hurts, who was a second-year starter for Alabama. Even if he didn't finish the national championship game, he went into a second year. And the one thing that both those guys have in common, Hurts in 2017, Watson the year before that in 2016, they had come close to winning a championship prior to that. And I think it's important to remember that Jalen Hurts played in 2016, and he saw Clemson get the best of him. Watson had played against Alabama in 2015, and he saw that Alabama team get the best of him. So the experienced quarterbacks that have eventually won national championships, they prove their national championship medal in previous seasons. And maybe the distaste of watching someone else celebrate on a field that you occupied, maybe that aided in that. I think for Jake Fromm, it's interesting to note that as he takes a more vocal stance leading this team this year, one of the more unquestioned leaders than ever before, he'll do so with the memory of what did happen after the 2017 season and what he lived through last year with the two postseason games, the SEC Championship and the Sugar Bowl. And I do think the pain of coming short, not quite getting there, I think gives him even more credibility as he says this year needs to be different. The phrase we've seen on the Georgia t-shirts, do more. You know, leave no doubt about this team's worthiness of being in the college football playoff and then winning once it gets there. I think what Fromm has been through, like Deshaun Watson and Jalen Hurts before him, I think gives him a chance to have even additional credibility as a leader.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, look, Jake Fromm played good enough to win the national championship in 2017. That was a defensive back breakdown, something Kirby Smart drilled those guys on. That's why Georgia didn't give up many long plays, because it was Kirby Smart's unit that lost that game in the final seconds, not Jake Fromm. But last year, Jake did have the ball with 57 seconds left and an opportunity to drive for a winning touchdown, and he was unable to get the ball downfield. So I would agree that certainly this is something that resonates with Jake Fromm. His legacy is not what it needs to be or what he wants it to be at this point. Georgia is at a point right now where nothing less than a national championship is going to satisfy the fans. It's been a long time. People are tired of hearing about 1980. They're tired of the ridicule from all the SEC fans about not being able to win the big game. We've seen Georgia win plenty of big games, but they've keep running into Alabama, and this is the year, BA, that they've got to overcome that. And Jake Fromm, an original Alabama commitment, might add, is going to be the guy that's going to ultimately decide how far this team goes, not necessarily with, again, just the on-field performance, but the leadership and the way he's able to take charge with this offense this season. I feel like the defense is in very good hands.
I mentioned our radio audience. Let me right now take a moment to pause and say to our radio friends, we'll be right back in just a moment. You got plenty more Dog Nation Daily coming up right after this. And as we continue here on video, on podcast form, and on the radio, it's great to have Dog Nation's Mike Griffith here as we talk through all the storylines looking ahead with Georgia as it gets ready to begin 2019 spring practice here today as we're live in Athens for all of that. We talked about Jake Fromm a moment ago. I want to spend a minute talking about DeAndre Swift here as well. And one of the national conversations about Swift this offseason has been, it's not so much directly related to Swift, but related to the position that he plays. There's some question as you look ahead towards Heisman favorites and who can win the Heisman. It's been asked by some national media members this offseason, can a running back still win this award? Now, it's worth pointing out that a running back did win the award as recently as 2015, but it does seem like we have a sport more dominated by quarterback talk than ever, and predominantly virtually every other favorite for the Heisman Trophy, other than maybe Travis Etienne from Clemson, they're all going to be quarterbacks here. So regardless of whether Fromm or Swift end up becoming Heisman finalists, one of them wins the award, from the standpoint of Georgia, can Georgia's best offensive player still be a running back, or do we live in an era in which the quarterback position dominates college football so much that it's always going to be Fromm's team? What do you expect from Swift in terms of, you know, can he be the face of this program? Can he be the offensive leader for this program? Is that still possible for a running back in 2019?
Yeah, I don't know about offensive leader. I would defer to Fromm there, but what gives DeAndre Swift a chance at the Heisman Trophy, and a lot of this has to do with Georgia's philosophy on how they use them. Remember, this is DeAndre Swift's first healthy offseason. Also remember, it's a 15-game season, and we've seen Georgia like to platoon in the backfield. Now, DeAndre Swift, to me, is a guy that 1,500 total yards is possible, 20 touchdowns is possible, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield, B.A. Yeah. He's not just a guy you hand it off to. Swift is an unbelievable talent. He's a home run hitter as a running back. He can give you the highlight runs that you need to have to win the Heisman. You've seen the moves when he's completely healthy. But the durability is issue number one that you got to wonder about. You got to wonder about their philosophy also, how much they want to use him. Kirby's going to be smart. Again, if you win a national championship, it's a 15-game season.
So let me drill down on something you just said there. You said a 1,500-yard season is a possibility. I would agree with you. I take it a step further, though. I will tell you that I believe a 1,300 or 1,400-yard season almost a necessity, because I think from that top two tandem of running backs, you've got to find a way to get about 2,500 yards. Now, you add that third back in the mix, the way that DeAndre Swift occupied that role in 2017, then maybe you get close to 3,000, whatever. But it's really that top two tandem, the way that you get 1,100 yards or so about what Holyfield gave you last season, that 1,400-yard number from that top guy. Swift's got to be that. He's got to be, in other words, he's got to be healthy for enough this season to provide that, because if he is healthy, we know he'll do that. Or at least we have a pretty strong track record to assume that. But he's got to be healthy enough that he can give you that. Otherwise, this Georgia offense is different as some people want it to be. They want those extra wrinkles, more up-tempo, throwing the ball more. A lot of fans have called for that. You've still got to lay the foundation with about 2,500 yards from your two top running backs, which means you've got to have Swift leading the way in that regard, I believe.
Yeah, well, one of the ways that I think they'll do that is with what they call the extended handoff. The shovel pass to Swift, or the toss out in the flats, which is the same as a handoff, only it constitutes a pass. And I think that's where Brian Herrien and Zamir White become very important. And I don't think you want to beat up DeAndre Swift running between the tackles. Not saying that he can't, not saying that he won't, but I'm saying he's a guy you want in space. He's a guy you want to run the sweep with, a guy you want to throw to in the flats, run screens to, and you've got other running backs. You know, throw James Cook in the mix also. And because of what we talked about earlier in this presentation, BA, the youth of those receivers, you may see Georgia throw more to the running backs with James Coley, particularly if James Cook is healthy. Let's remember who recruited James Cook and what we saw from James Cook early in the season. He's another guy who's absolutely dynamic in the open field. So that's what I expect, is Swift and Cook on the perimeter, maybe a little bit on the draw occasionally, but I think Brian Herring and Zamir White play very important roles between the tackles.
Yes, you know, last week we had the veteran college football reporter Tony Barnhart on our program, and one of the things we talked about with Tony was the need for Georgia to be more consistent week to week. I don't think anybody would deny that Georgia was a much better team in November than it was in September and October. Now, part of that was because you were working new players into new roles, and they kind of all emerged at the same time towards the end of the season. In a lot of respects, I think we all expected that. But in 2019, when being the number one overall seed in the college football playoffs going to matter because you have a chance to play in Atlanta, being more consistent week to week is going to be really important. And Tony brought up a really good point, that Georgia's consistency, what prevented that to a certain extent last year was, and Mike, you know this because you're the one that questioned Kirby Smart about this, DeAndre Swift clearly was not as healthy in September and early October as he proved to be later on in the year. To get the kind of performances all season long from Georgia that you got in November, September, October, November of this year, you do have to have a fully healthy DeAndre Swift, and hopefully Georgia fans will get that good news as the season progresses.
Yeah, and let's also remember that Ben Cleveland went out against Missouri the fourth game of the season. Georgia's offense wasn't the same in October as it was in September, when they absolutely grinded South Carolina and the cockiness from the Gamecocks into the ground. I mean, that was supposed to be the challenge, right? And then Missouri actually had a pretty decent run defense. But when Ben Cleveland went out, the offensive line started shifting around. You remember Andrew Thomas was also lost early in the year. There were a lot of guys, I wonder, you know, just how healthy they were. And then I'll go back to it. You know, Jake Fromm was not on the same page with those receivers like he was the year before Javon Wims. Wims was missed a lot more than anybody realized, I think, by Jake, as Jake struggled in third and long. And during that bye week was when Jake really focused on it. And then really the passing game took off, and DeAndre Swift got healthy. And I'm not sure anybody would have beat Georgia last November.
We've got a lot of comments coming up on today's program. We'll do a little earlier version of our R.S. Andrews Cool Down today, give you a chance to weigh in with your thoughts on Georgia football as Dog Nation Daily is live today in Athens. Mike, before we go, though, let me deal with three quick issues with you. And these are all things that I don't know that we'll see with our own eyes as much, fans at G-Day, you at practice, but these are things that we'll hear Kirby Smart talk a bit about today and when he addresses the media in future press conferences over the course of the spring. And I think these are all, in their own respects, three really interesting issues. Let me start with the defensive side of the ball. And who steps up as that dynamic playmaker for this Georgia defense this year? G-Day is not a great time to see the defense, right? Because spring games are designed to make the offense look good. But Georgia lost a Thorpe Award winner off last year's team, DeAndre Baker. It is still going into year two of trying to replace a Butkus Award winner in Roquan Smith from 2017. It's almost, to me, not even important which position you talk about here, secondary, linebacker, somebody up front. But who is that next first-round pick, first-team All-SEC, National Award winner candidate? Who is that guy going to become for Georgia this season? Because the last two defenses have certainly benefited from having a player of that caliber. And as we start spring practice today, it's not obvious who that name will be for this team this year.
Yeah, you know, I like J.R. Reed's leadership, and I thought he was really sound in the open field. But when you look into the secondary, you didn't see a lot of picks. You didn't really see many big plays at linebacker either. You know, I think Richard LeCount has a chance to be very special. He has to grow. He has to get bigger and become a better tackler, but he's a very talented playmaking sort of guy. I'll be interested to see how much bigger he's gotten this offseason. I believe J.R. Reed will be an all-SEC type of guy. He's, to me, the leader of the defense. But from a physical standpoint, the guy that has a chance to take a jump is Tae Crowder. I mean, Tae is a big, impressive, fast athlete. You know, he's in that 6'3", 240 mold. He can run sideline to sideline. I'm not sure where he's at as far as the adjustment to linebacker mentally, if everything's second nature. But he's a guy we want to see. And then a guy that you were one of the first to jump on, Jordan Davis. You know, Kirby mentioned a weight issue. If this guy gets his weight right, though, could we be looking at a guy that could be an SEC dominator here, you know, an Ndamukong Suh type of guy? I mean, does he have that sort of potential? Because he made an impact as a true freshman. So just throw throwing a few names around as some guys, and certainly the five stars have fallen out of the sky, and Jeff Centell's talked about the N'Kobe Deans and Nolan Smith the entire offseason. So I doubt that a true freshman can have that impact, but you never know. And the junior college transfer, wonder a lot about him. He certainly looks the part. So the good news is there's a lot of talent and a lot of stars, and obviously Kirby Smart feels good about Dan Lanning and Glenn Schumann, or he wouldn't have given them $700,000 in raises and promotions. So they must be doing something right in the linebacker room. But my best guess would probably be Reed, LeCount, or Tay Crowder.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting name. I want to talk more about those freshmen coming up in just a moment, too. Let me also make another point on this as well. Because on the one hand, while I say, hey, Georgia's going to find its next star player, given what Baker's done, what Roquan Smith has done, there's also a hope that I have as a fan moving into this season that Georgia's a little less reliant on one individual name. I mean, I think back to DeAndre Walker a year ago, yeah. A sensational final season at Georgia, but he was kind of a one-man pass rush. Georgia really didn't have any pass rusher that was able to complement and do anything close to what Walker did there. Roquan Smith was a bit the same way in the linebacking corps from 2017. Good players around him, but no one who is anywhere near as impactful. I think you could say the same thing a bit about DeAndre Baker in the secondary over the last couple of years as well. As Georgia becomes a deeper roster, and I think this in 2019 is the deepest roster that Kirby Smart has coached, one of the things that I hope for as a fan, while we're on the lookout for new stars emerging, this is not a team dominated by one name on defense quite as much. You hope that this Georgia roster can find a little bit more balance in terms of the pass rush and in terms of the total number of tackles, that there's a little bit more of a ensemble cast as opposed to a star vehicle.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, one of the most incredible stats I ran across this weekend is in the last 5 years, to your point, Georgia's only had two first-team All-SEC defensive guys in 5 years. Georgia's only had two first-team defensive guys in 5 years. Alabama has four and five some years. And that's where we have to see Kirby Smart's recruiting and player development come to fruition and have two or three or four guys, like you said, that can make plays, make difference-making plays like Roquan Smith did. If Roquan's on the team last year, does LSU go 4-4 on fourth down, and does LSU win the game in that fashion? Probably not. Does Alabama make the sort of comeback in the SEC championship game with a Roquan Smith at middle linebacker? Not likely. Yeah. They missed him greatly.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then when you move, and you mentioned the freshman, which you did a moment ago, Connor's been in a lot of these press conferences. He knows that phrase that Kirby likes to use, the rat trap. That's his way of saying all these freshmen get out there on the practice field or the game field. They just sort of freeze up and they forget what they're doing. And we've watched that closely the last couple of springs, because a lot of these incoming freshmen, early enrollees, we had high expectations for what they would do for Georgia in their first year. And in some respects, when you were filling out your two deep for Georgia's best possible 22, and in some respects, you felt like you had to get a contribution from some of these incoming freshmen. Otherwise, Georgia was going to be deficient. You mentioned Jordan Davis. Where would the Georgia rush defense have been last year had Davis not stepped up the way that he did in the second half of the season? Here's the one thing that I think is good news for Georgia this year, and there are a lot of incoming freshmen that I'm really excited about. You mentioned N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, Tyreek Stevens will go through spring practice. There are a lot of incoming freshmen who I do think have a chance to be on the field and in some cases compete for starting spots, junior college transfers like DJ Daniel and Jermaine Johnson as well. However, this Georgia team doesn't need those guys as much, and it's one of the reasons why this is Kirby's best chance thus far to win a national championship. You've got freshmen, one of them will probably pop, one of them will probably end up being a very impactful player, but you don't need that to happen for Georgia to be as good as it can be. You can get everything that you need from your 2018, 2017, and what's left of the 2016 class. The 2019 class that's on campus right now, they are for the most part luxury items.
No doubt. You know, you got to see guys like Quay Walker and Adam Anderson, Channing Tindall, Robert Beal. Those are the names that become household names, whether because they're playing or because they decide to transfer, because that's a new element of this that Kirby brought up. I mean, now that Georgia has accumulated this much talent, only so many of them can play BA, and it's going to be interesting to see who emerges and who ends up in the transfer portal after this season, because that's the new world for Georgia. And again, a good problem to have when you have a surplus of talent. Nonetheless, it's going to make Georgia a younger team, and it's going to leave for a lesser margin of error for programs like Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State that accumulate so much talent.
Let me do one quick thing with you before we let you go. Mike Griffith, it's been great to have you as a part of our Dog Nation Daily kickoff to spring coverage here. Kirby's going to speak today. He'll be asked about coordinators. How much do you think he reveals? Do you think he reveals the responsibility split between the coordinator, Dan Lanning, and his co-coordinator, Glenn Schumann? Does he admit that he's looking for some new things from James Coley's offense, or does he want that to be more of the same? Does he reveal much of his thought process today in your mind?
No. Kirby is going to be as bland and boring as he possibly can and say, guys, it's the same thing we've been doing. These are the same guys that have been in the meeting rooms. Things aren't going to be that different. Coley sat next to Jim Chaney up there calling plays all last year. They'll have a few wrinkles. They'll see what the talent is. They'll work around it. It's all about hard work. And because Kirby knows you're not going to win the national championship in March. And, you know, you're not going to win any championships in spring football, but you can lose them. Their job is to not lose a national championship. Keep everybody healthy, identify the strengths and weaknesses, and get everybody on the same page.
So a quick follow-up to that, when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, is it true that they really are going to share responsibilities, or is Kirby trying to keep it a secret who really is the guy in charge?
Oh, no, I think this is something that's going to evolve. I mean, if there's one thing I've learned about Kirby Smart, and we'll kind of circle back to the start of this podcast, it's that Kirby slow plays things, and he examines all of his options. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. I know that's cliche-ish, but this is a guy who's very thorough, and he's not going to make any decisions prematurely and then make it work. He's going to see how this new staff works together. Remember, he's also got Charlton Warren working back there with him now, as well as Glenn and Dan Lanning, and so he's going to see how this staff works together and how things gel. But ultimately, Kirby's the boss. The bigger change is on offense and how James Coley runs that meeting room.
Mike, I know you've got a lot of great coverage coming up at DogNation.com in the days ahead, including today as spring practice begins. We appreciate your time on Dog Nation Daily.
Appreciate it, B.A.
Good stuff there from Mike Griffith for our radio audience. We'll pause with you one quick second here. Let you take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Dog Nation Daily coming up right after this. And back here on Dog Nation Daily, here on video and podcast and radio. Normally, one of the things that we do on video each and every day, as my hair continues to blow all over the place, there's no telling how this looks on camera, but nonetheless, one of the things that we do on video every single day is something we call our R.S. Andrews Cool Down. It's brought to you by our friends at R.S. Andrews. Heating, air, plumbing, electrical, the one thing we don't need in Athens right now is any air. We got plenty coming through here. We don't need any of that. A little heat wouldn't be such a bad idea, but either way, at your house, when it's hot, you want that air conditioner to come on and work well. When it's cold, you want the heater working. This time of year, you kind of got the furnace and the AC system kind of both going at the same time, at least over the course of a week because of the way the temperature changes. Well, you want R.S. Andrews to come over and make sure everything's working the way that it's supposed to. You want everything to be in working shape and in working order, and that's why you want to check out R.S. Andrews online at rsandrews.com. They bring the R.S. Andrews cool down to us each and every day. For those of you that don't normally get a chance to watch our video show, we do this on video. Today, we wanted to make this part of our podcast and make this part of our radio program just to make everything that we're doing here as interactive as we possibly can be. And as we get ready to transition and have some comments and be a part of that in today's show, both on Facebook and on YouTube, let me also take a moment to say, if you go to DogNation.com, in addition to the great spring coverage that exists at the site right now, both previewing what's about to happen today and then taking a look at what happens beyond that, you'll also see up at the top of the page, and I appreciate the folks doing this, there is a link to our Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest. Now, this is just for fun. This is not a promotion or anything like that. This is just something we're kind of doing for fun. So if you follow that link, you can get in there to it. We had a bunch of folks sign up yesterday. This is going to actually end up being a pretty cool contest and a pretty good thing. The winner of the bracket contest all the way around is going to get a Dog Nation prize bag. I've been told this is worth hundreds of dollars worth of Dog Nation swag, like some really good stuff. That's going to be a really fun thing. We're also going to give T-shirts away to the top 10 performers in the Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest. So please check out DogNation.com. You'll find the link to enter and be a part of that. Go ahead and get that in there now. The play-in games begin tonight. The regular first round tips off on Thursday, but you want to go ahead and get your bracket in. I've got to fill mine out later on today too and get that in so we can all be a part of that. I think that's going to be a ton of fun. With that said, let me pull up our Facebook comments and get rolling here. We'll take a bunch of these, assuming that my hands haven't completely frozen here to be able to do that. Miriam Martin Corbin says, I walked 2 miles this morning. It's cold and windy. Yeah, it is today, Miriam. It really is. It is definitely cold and windy today here for sure. Chris Tittle says, it's a good thing I don't wear a toupee. Yeah, I guess it kind of looks like I probably am today. If I was wearing a toupee, that thing would be blown all over the place right now, for sure. James Bryant says, with our bracket challenge, can we win a top fan icon? If I could give away the top fan icon, I would. Maybe that's one of those things we need to come up with, like Dog Nation Daily top fan t-shirts. Maybe that'd be kind of a good thing to do to kind of satisfy. For those of you who are unaware, Facebook, on the comment section, the people who comment live during the show, has recently started with like a top fan status. They reach out to people, they tell them they can be a top fan, and it has created an incredible division with some of our Facebook commenters. So that's been a little bit of a controversy, but nonetheless, we soldier on. Scott Harris says, BA, is Dominic Blaylock with the team for spring practice? No, Dominic is not one of the freshmen who's here as an early enrollee for the spring. He'll be one of the summer enrollees, and he'll be ready to go then. Trayvon Walker's another one of those highly anticipated signees that's coming in the summer. You know, Walker stuck around his school down in there at Upson Lee because he wanted to be basketball, he wanted to do track. We had a chance to talk to Walker in January, and he was already a part of a very serious workout regimen. So he's one of those guys that is going to be in good shape when he arrives here, even though he's not going through early enrollee stuff. We didn't get a chance to really talk to Dom back in January when we saw him at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards Banquet. We did see him, though. I had a chance to, I guess, kind of catch up with him unofficially. And the honest truth is, I don't really know why he's a summer enrollee. I don't know if it was a course credit thing or if there's another sport that he wanted to participate in. But I would assume that Blaylock's going to be a lot like Walker in that he's going to show up here in really good shape. And actually, it's going to be one of those years where by the time summer rolls around, you're still going to have a good many signees that you're excited about seeing then. It will be Blaylock. It will be Trayvon Walker. It will be George Pickens. So the summertime is going to be a fun time, too, in addition to what is a really impressive crop of early enrollees for the spring. And maybe you agree with something I said a little earlier in today's program, that as excited as I am about freshmen, and Stevenson in particular comes to mind because of the competition at defensive back, as deep as Georgia is at linebacker, and Kobe Dean's name will come up, obviously Nolan Smith, and you can mention a lot of others here too, Louis Seen. As excited I am about those guys, speaking specifically as a fan here for a moment, one of the things that makes me the most excited is the fact that I don't necessarily need to see one of those guys become a starter for Georgia to see Georgia become what it can be this season. In previous years, I think you really needed a freshman. I mean, last year we went into through the summer practices knowing that if Tyson Campbell didn't step up as a cornerback, who is that cornerback going to be? Now, we later on found out it was going to be Eric Stokes, and things were just fine. But we've been in a position the last couple of off seasons where we looked at certain positions and said, you got to have a freshman there. Think about Andrew Thomas as an incoming freshman in 2017 at the right tackle position. You had to have him there last year. Redshirt freshman Isaiah Wilson at right tackle in 2018. You had to have him there last year. If you didn't have that, you weren't going to have enough. You weren't going to have, you know, the full complement of what you needed there. I think this year of 2019, Georgia's not quite in that same position anymore, and I think that's a pretty cool thing to see. Matt Braslin says it's even cool and rainy here in Bradenton, Florida. Matt, I would imagine that's probably a little disappointing because that's not what you hope and expect for from Bradenton. Mike Mazzell says, nice bangs, BA. Listen, y'all got to understand something. I'm self-conscious as it can be about the way this hair is flying around here, so y'all don't make too much fun at my expense on this. But listen, I also said this in the forum a little earlier, that I'm glad we can kind of laugh and joke and have a good time with all this kind of stuff too. So we try not to take ourselves too seriously here, and we hope that you appreciate that, and we certainly appreciate you being here as a part of what we're doing on Dog Nation Daily Live from Athens as a part of our kickoff to spring coverage. Philip Sharp says, BA, the weather event man. Yeah, listen, I've always had a dream of, you know, last week on Before the Hedges, we kind of did the thing where we turned and looked at the map. I've always kind of had that dream of being a weatherman, but let's face it, the weather guys and gals are the ones that get all the attention on the local news as it is. So to be like, what's his name, Jim Cantore, the guy that's always out there in the hurricanes? This may be about as close to that as I can get. It's one of those things where, like, the sun could not be shining any prettier. It could not look any better from that regard. We're on a slightly elevated plane here, and I think that's probably an issue. If we were a little lower to the ground, it's probably not quite as windy, right, Connor? Yeah, so the fact we're slightly elevated, if you want to know where we are, you can see the practice facility and the indoor facility on the screen behind us, for those of you watching on video, I'm actually standing just behind the Vince Dooley statue. The Dooley statue, just to the right of the Buttsmere Heritage Hall, is right in front of me. So that's where we are doing Dog Nation Daily here today. We're actually also going to be back here tomorrow live for a special edition of Dog Nation Daily as we continue, in a certain extent, our spring practice coverage. But also tomorrow is the UGA Pro Day in the indoor facility. A lot of NFL coaches will be here. A lot of Georgia players try to make one more impression on those NFL scouts before the draft comes up in April. It's always a really big day on the UGA calendar, one of the most important football days, certainly of the offseason. So we're looking forward to presenting coverage of spring practice tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Shannon Baker says, good morning, everybody. I'm late to the show. Well, Shannon, we're glad you're here no matter what. He says, football is back. Go Dogs. And Shannon, I totally agree with you on that. And I actually started the show by saying that here today. There is something really fun to me about football being back. And I one of those nights last night where you don't sleep quite as good. You're excited about being in Athens. You know, I love being at this facility. I love seeing that red jersey come running out for spring practice. Even if it's not quite the same, you know, degree of sort of shine and the pomp and circumstance that you get for the actual games, it's just fun to see those pads popping again and see some of that, you know, kind of football stuff going on. Hearing the whistles blowing in the background, I think we're all kind of the same way in that we really like that kind of stuff, and it's fun to have that back here. By the way, we will also have more YouTube comments coming up in just a moment. I know our YouTube folks are probably yelling at me for not taking YouTube comments yet, but we will have those coming up. Cyrenard Watson also asked about Zeus, Amir White. He says, I'd like to see how Zeus looks right now. And Cyrenard, and I hope I didn't butcher your name. I know probably from time to time I do, and if I do, I apologize. I'm also curious about seeing Zamir White. I think what's going to be an interesting comparison is what we saw from Nick Chubb in the spring practice of 2016. Do you remember? Do you remember that where we saw some of those play polish drills? Where, you know, it's not like an official practice rep. He's certainly not in a position to get hit or tackled or anything like that. But, you know, he was kind of doing some handoffs and some work like that. It was a signal of this guy is on his way back to being ready sooner than some of you think, because the catastrophic nature of Chubb's injury in 2015 led some people to wonder, will he even be ready to go at the start of the 2016 season? And that signal in spring practice kind of gave an indication that indeed could happen, that indeed could be the case. And that was kind of an exciting thing for Georgia fans to see. There's really not a big reason for Zeus to do a whole lot during this year's spring practice. I don't think his injury last year was as severe as the one that Chubb suffered in 2015. But nonetheless, Georgia can have the luxury of being a little bit cautious with its recovery, but it will be an interesting comparison. Will we see something from Zamir White that says, hey, this recovery is well on its way to being where it needs to be? Kirby Smart will almost definitely be asked about that today, and that'll be one of the really, really interesting curiosities, what we see with our own eyes. How is he dressed? What's he doing? Is it just stationary bike to the side the entire spring? Do we see some of him in between the white lines? My guess is there's almost zero chance that White plays during G-Day, but I also think there's very little chance that he's not ready to play, at least very close to the start of the season for Georgia in 2019, and that's what really matters. All right, we got plenty more comments coming up on video as a part of our R.S. Andrews Cooldown, but for the folks listening on podcast form, for the folks who've listened on the radio today on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, let me get ready to sign off for you and say thanks for being patient. A little bit different format for us as we're on the road today. It's been great to bring Dog Nation Bailey to you. We'll also see you once again tomorrow back here in Athens for Pro Day and everything else associated with that. Thanks for being here today on Dog Nation Daily.